You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be One of Us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Chrissy.
No, not Chrissy. It's like the movie we just saw. It's Charlie.
This is our bit.
What?
This is our bit, though.
What? No.
It's a rhymes.
It's,
you have to stick with it.
No.
You're Chrissy now.
No.
Forever. We're gonna
forget that this is not happening.
It's done.
We're just going to do the review, and I will not be Chrissy.
It's immortalized on film forever.
Oh, God.
You brought this on yourself.
You know, I knew it was going to be a problem when I brought Jen and Sarah Jane into doing these reviews, that these two were going to eventually take power and let the girls doing it for themselves.
It's a redhead thing.
Which is kind of the basis of attack for this new movie, Charlie's Angels. Of like, you know what? The girls are doing it for themselves.
The topical film.
As they kind of should have been since they, you know, the last two movies, which are mega dumb. No question.
Yes.
Yes.
But have their levels of enjoyment.
They do.
Are problematic at points by today's standards. I mean, you're like, women should be sexy, but strong. They can be both things. And I'm okay with that, saying they can be beautiful and sexy, but also strong. But they have scenes in there of the girls soaping up each other's boobs.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not really dead on. This new Charlie's Angels, they said, well, you know what? If we're going to do this, especially in this day and age, let's get Elizabeth Banks, who's a very talented and funny lady herself. Oh, Jen's all like, hi, babe.
Yes, I love her so much.
To come in and direct and co-write the screenplay. Right off the bat, I was like, okay, you actually have me interested. Kristen Stewart, who has gone from surprisingly one of the most, like, you know, almost code word for bad actress for years with Twilight, to one of the most respected indie film actresses working today. I mean, I guess you can only do, it's like Harrison Ford said to George Lucas, you can write these words, George, but you sure can't say them.
Right. I mean, to be fair, she was given crap to begin with.
That's what I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
So I was like, okay, I love Kristen Stewart. But I was like, I have no idea who these two other ladies are in this film, the other two angels. And this is me being old, maybe. But Naomi Scott, who apparently her real big claim to fame before this was, I think, doing a pretty good job as Princess Jasmine in the live-action Aladdin. But I'll be damned if I would have recognized her, you know. And then Ella Balinska, who is British actress, and I just knew absolutely nothing about her. She's been in a bunch of movies that weren't even big enough to have links on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's in a show, Midsummer Murders, in an episode. But I'm like, okay, that's a little... I mean, after going through three of the biggest female stars in the world with the previous franchise, I thought, well, this is some odd decision-making here.
It's kind of refreshing, though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like, a little bit, there was less expectations, perhaps, to some degree, because you didn't know what to expect. And this shakes it up a bit as well. They really should have, and this is just a pet peeve of mine, when they make a sequel to something, but just give it the same name. you know, like they did, or a prequel, like with The Thing, they just called it The Thing. It's like, why did you do that? That's bad. Don't call it the exact same name. This, they should have called it Charlie's Angels International, right?
Yes.
It could have worked. Well, I mean, the other ones were international as well.
Right, but like as the actual title, because the plot here is like, oh, now they've franchised and there's Charlie's Angels all segments all over the world, and there's all these different Bosleys, which is just a code name for, I think they said at one point, like a lieutenant in the organization. Yeah, rank. So they've expanded, and Elizabeth Banks herself plays the Bosley for the American, the California chapter, but we see she's kind of like taking over for the long time Bosley, Patrick Stewart, who we mysteriously haven't seen till now, but through a series of really badly photoshopped pictures.
He had hair once.
Really badly photoshopped pics. We see him with hair, with the previous Angels, both from the TV show and from the previous movies. Like, okay, and he's retiring. They give him a watch, yada, yada. And all that sequence is largely there to establish, oh, this whole thing is an international organization. But we only have two of these angels. The third one comes in with the subplot, well, the plot, which is that there is this organization that is making these high-tech devices that are supposed to, and I have no idea how, provide really cheap green power that doesn't connect to any electrical grid.
Insert lack of plot here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like a scientist who works for them, Naomi Scott, is like, hey, there's a problem. See, with a tiny bit of changing to this code, it could be super weaponized and turned into an EMP that can give people brain damage.
Pretty much. Like,
nobody ever thought of this in the developmental phase of the concept of this project.
You see
this is fine.
They're describing at one point, it's like it's in a cyanide based quantum matrix or some techno babble like that.
Sure.
I was like, what?
I don't know.
I mean, whatever. Every spy movie's got some totally absurd MacGuffin device like this.
That's fair.
But, of course, there's people who want it. She knows that her company is going to move into production despite all the obvious dangers that she knows about and won't tell her boss's boss about it. And she decides to reveal to Jaman Hansu, another Bosley, that this is a thing. I can't, with good conscience, let this happen. I need someone to help me to address this issue. Immediately, crazy psycho assassin comes after them. She is forced together with our primary two angels on a globe-trotting adventure to figure out what's going on, who's trying to steal this thing, who is trying to kill her, and whether or not it has ties back to the Angels Foundation at all.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So, I think the biggest surprise all of us had with this film is that it really wasn't bad at all.
It was enjoyable. I had fun. I laughed many times.
Yeah, I laughed. It was okay.
It was okay.
It was okay.
You're going to go as far as okay.
It was fun. There was a couple lines in there that made me really laugh. And the Ben Affleck line, that
okay. Yeah,
my favorite,
that was
of
good.
All time.
Fun, yep. Of like, I mean,
was he really, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Playing on an actual Marvel meme, which is kind of funny. You know?
Yeah.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Actually, there's a line in there made me laugh so hard I snorted, which really surprised me, where Kristen Stewart is like, oh, yeah, like there was a gunfight at my wedding. And the other girl goes,
wait,
you're married? And she goes, no, I was the better shot.
Yes.
I was like, oh, so my good. God.
Deadpan.
That was amazing. There is moments of really, truly great writing in here. Unfortunately, there's a lot more jokes that fall incredibly flat. I mean, like, where this is the audience full of mainly women going to see this. Mm-hmm. And there was nary a peep at quite a few of the jokes. It was just crickets. I was like, ooh, it wasn't even that bad of a joke. It was just, it felt like it went by and no one, these jokes, they go by and no one noticed that there was a joke there.
Yeah.
I feel like it's that pretty standard style of comedy where you just throw as many things at them as possible. Some of them will hit, some of them won't, but regardless, you're going to laugh.
Yeah, occasionally. And there certainly are some big laughs. The other thing I was surprised at, that despite, as I said, the Paul Greengrass effect of shooting action too close up and too jumpy cuts to really get a great feel on what's happening, that's only occasionally that I had that problem. I will say the previous movies had that problem with just an overabundance of incredibly badly done wire foo. I mean, just yes. like, wow, bad just wire over. Foo. I don't mind wire foo, but they just had no clue what they were doing in those movies. It looks terrible. And here, that is not the problem. They're going for considerably more realistic style of combat between the girls and, well, everyone.
And everybody.
Some decently plotted and planned out action sequences, I thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, I had the same problem with... there was a lot of times I couldn't see what was happening. Mm-hmm. But that was mostly just the hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, no. Only when it got super hand-to-hand was the problem. But there's some good chases. I think the problem is ultimately, like I said, it's this mix between being occasionally really funny and smart, and other times being, like, just almost embarrassingly fall flat at what it's trying to do with the comedy at points. And a lot of it is so, I mean, the movie starts with practically a speech by Kristen Stewart about the Me Too generation, and which is fine, but the movie, and I agree with everything this movie has to say on that, but it's so nonstop on the nose and like kind of like doing old jokes about it that you're like, we get it.
Yeah, I didn't actually like that open. I mean, I liked the opening scene, but then the rest of whatever was happening by the credits, I was like, what is this?
That was the weakest point in the movie for me.
Oh, okay, good.
Was that intro scene? I was like, is this gonna? Is this where we're going with it?
Is the whole movie
gonna be just like this? Yeah, I did not dig that. It took a minute to get started for me, but once it got started, I was happy with where it went. I feel like if you'd taken out that beginning monologue, made it a little lighter and a little less like we're gonna hit you right in the nose with this real quick, I would have enjoyed the rest of it better. But I did like. I mean, and a lot of people have said it, and a lot of people are going to keep saying it, but it's something of our generation that it's just the focus right now. I really like that it kind of poked fun at a lot of the overt things that women have to groan and deal with these days, and it did so in a way that was like, yeah, that happened. Yep, that happens. It was in a relatable, I've been in that situation. Mm-hmm. Oh, yep, I've been in that situation. That situation also, been there, done that. There were several of those in different places throughout the film where I was like, yeah. All right, people need to see that because it's a thing. It's a moment right now.
Yeah,
it's a lot of the film is playing into almost every scene. There's at least one moment like that.
Yeah,
which, like I said, I mean, it's obvious as an audience this is pointed more at women who like action movies, and that's great. We need more stuff like that because a lot of female-led action movies are actually made for men, and this one is.
That's
not.
My biggest. Yeah, that was my biggest takeaway from this movie. Is the first two of the modern Charlie's Angels movies were obviously by men for men. I mean, they were for men. They had strong female actors, but man, they were for men. This movie felt like it was by a woman for women.
Yeah,
It was much less about the overt sexuality, more about the empowerment. It made fun of itself even in those moments. I really dug that about it. Elizabeth Banks is a great writer, and I love what she does.
And she did find a lot of places to find that, get that mix just right, but there were just as many places where it was a little, like, a sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
I mean, this is relatively early in her being behind the camera career, and she's been getting better as she goes, and I certainly think she's got, showing here, she can handle much bigger films than she's previously been like given, and I think that's awesome. Kristen Stewart is bringing a lot of energy to this. She's clearly having more fun than anyone else in this movie. She's the crazy one. She's the wild one.
She seemed like she was just being herself, and like she knew, she's like, why am I in this movie? And you're saying, why am I in this movie? But I'm gonna have fun anyway.
Right.
So yeah.
And she kind of embodies that spirit of ambiguity and of not being one particular, she's not after all the men, she's not after all the women. She's kind of ambiguous. You don't really know what she is, and that's what's great about it. I really like that about it.
Oh yeah.
She's just gorgeous.
Well, they give her all the best lines too.
Yeah.
For sure. She's definitely, they know what they've got with Kristen Stewart being their strength here, and she plays it up to the hilt. Naomi Scott is the brainy one of the bunch who knows how to hack anything, and she's also the one who's kind of the audience avatar as she's being exposed to all this, like, oh, wow.
Oh, what is this thing? Yeah. What is this shiny thing? What does that button do?
Yeah, exactly. What is this? Don't touch that. It explodes. And Ella Balinski is the tough one who's like, you know, hard and we take this seriously, which makes her unfortunately the less least interesting one of the group, quite frankly. And I wasn't wildly impressed by her performance here. She certainly physically was capable of the role, no question. And of the action, I mean, she does some impressive moves. But there's some moments she's asked to emote quite a bit, and I don't think she quite pulls it off.
With the exception of the scene in the lab where she interacts with the scientist, I actually really dug that scene. It was really cute.
Yeah.
There was some weird chemistry there.
It was weird, but it worked because he's an awkward scientist and she's an awkward, repressed, like super hardworking angel, and then all of a sudden just has this moment of, yeah, I like gummy bears.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Great, moving on. It was cute. I like it. It was a nice change of pace.
Yeah. And the movie keeps trying to shake it up, and it very much, as much as the 2000 or whenever they were, the previous films were sort of like hitting on the points of types of movies that the Mission Impossible movies were back then.
Yeah.
This is hitting on the type of movies that the Mission Impossible movies are now.
Oof.
I mean, they both are clearly grabbing from where it's like, oh, it's everybody's stealing from Bond, but there's still this sort of ensemble-based, globe-trotting spy story with a lot of humor in it. And overall, your results are going to vary on these type of movies. If these type of movies just are not your cup of tea, I don't see this being the one that's going to put you over the top.
No.
It's certainly not as good on a lot of levels as the last, say, three Mission Impossible movies were, which I think have strangely become a really great franchise, those films. Some of them are really great. I know Jen's giving me the cynical look, but I'm questioning whether you saw them.
I saw the first three.
Yeah, that's what your problem is.
I don't know
is.
If I saw the fourth one. I called it quits after that.
The fourth one is where it gets really good.
Okay, because
the first three are like, meh.
I
and
shall
then
reserve
the fourth
judgment.
One is like, oh my God, that was great. Like, and they've been pretty great since then, strangely
all right.
enough. I know,
wait,
Tom
how many
Cruise,
are there now?
Yeah, I'm
four,
not
five, six?
Jeez, that's so
maybe
many.
Maybe seven? With two more on the way?
Get a new franchise already. Okay, all right. I'll go back and watch.
License
to
print money, right?
Right.
What are you going to do?
All right.
I think after Charlie's Angels, this, I mean, assuming that people actually go to see this, and I think that there's a lot of people who this is, I mean, I know people who are going to be like, once, if they choose to go see this, aren't too cynical to go see it, are exactly the audience that this movie was meant for and will enjoy the living shit out of it. I hope that they do, because I could totally see this getting a sequel that would be pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Know,
especially if they let Banks stay in control.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird that they, doesn't this seem like a summer movie?
Mm. The problem is with some things like that, though, is there's a lot of big competition in the summer.
True, you're right.
And more we find that all year is open ground now. I mean, the studios have come to open wide to, like, there's got to be, every month there's got to be at least one or two movies in any given style of film to satisfy people who want to see that style of film. Just the summer tends to be where they put all the huge $300 million blockbusters. This was decidedly not a $300 million blockbuster.
No.
It was a $48 million blockbuster, and you can see the seams quite a few times.
Yeah.
Like I said, not just the bad Photoshop. There's like one scene that's panning over, I think Istanbul, and you can totally see that the background is a really bad matte painting.
Yeah.
I'm like, are we still having really bad matte paintings in this day and age?
The beginning scene, too, when Kristen is in the helicopter and she rides away, I thought, what is that?
Oh, yeah, that was
weird.
Really
bad.
To be fair, though, when you are in Istanbul and you are across the water from the Hagia Sophia, that is what it looks like because it is hazy in the day.
Right.
So they did pretty alright with it. I wasn't mad.
I was still like, that's definitely a painting.
That was actually one of my favorite parts of the film for cheap reasons, in that I went to Istanbul this summer and I was like, oh my
Jealous.
God, I went there. Oh, I went there. I went to that spice market. I saw that thing.
You did, I mean, talk about badass ladies. You do archery on horseback. That's your thing. Like, you teach people when you perform stuff.
I don't teach on horseback yet. I only teach on the ground.
Okay,
but I do the
archery on horseback.
Archery,
that's like, that's crazy. I would be terrified.
I never claimed to be smart.
You could be an angel right now.
Well, it's like horsework and archery aren't dumb and stupid enough in and of themselves. You have to combine them for true stupidity. True stupidity. Yeah, so we were in Istanbul this summer for the Conquest Cup, which is a traditional archery tournament, and I got to see everything for about 2 weeks, and it's wonderful. And so that whole film was like, okay, I'm going to buy a copy of this just so that I can relive the Istanbul experience in my feels.
Well, let's go to final thoughts. Why don't you get us started?
Okay. Jennifer. I enjoyed it surprisingly more than I thought I was going to. I went in very cautious because of the last ones, which I will admit they are guilty pleasure films of mine. I actually watched the second Charlie's Angels film last week randomly before I even knew I was going to be doing this. So
yeah,
there's that.
I actually just watched it too. It's so bad, it's kind of good.
Yeah, there are eras, and I really like Drew Barrymore, so...
Oh yeah, huge fan.
She's and I feel like Kristen Stewart has the ability to be a next generation of Drew Barrymore, in that she's already making the leap into directing and into being the storyteller as well as being in front of the camera. She has a lot of potential. She started out younger and is growing up into a new direction. I really like that about her, and I like that she's taking on diverse roles and doesn't have a problem poking fun at herself. I really, really enjoy watching her on the screen, so I'm looking forward to more of that. The Saint. Was that his name? The Saint?
Yeah, a character.
He was delightful.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah. And I feel like that was the moment where the film kind of reversed that gratuitous, you know, when the men watched the original Charlie's Angels, it was all about watching the hot women.
Yeah.
There's your man candy of the film.
Well, yeah.
Who has this... substance and comes bearing kombucha. Okay,
Gerardo
yes.
Mendez.
Who was delightful.
Like, the least realistic man who has ever existed. And who cares? That's perfect for this movie. He is like this perfect, like, I can touch you and immediately, while first asking for your consent.
He did. Absolutely.
And fix your back problems you've had for years and didn't even know.
Men, take note. Just take note, please. Become more like him and every woman will be so happy.
Yeah, you clearly were thinking the wrong things were making women excited, because this is the guy.
I think my favorite line in the whole movie was one of Elizabeth Banks' lines, which I'm absolutely positive she wrote, which was the one about, I'm 40 years old, I'm single, and I have a cheese-sized hole in my heart to fill. And I was like, yes, this completes me as a human being.
I identify with that statement
as
well.
I really do. I said it, yeah. I was like, oh, that's me, yes.
At
so
least
good.
The cheese size heart.
Yeah, it's the hole. Yeah. It's got, cheese. I just like cheese.
It's unfillable.
I just like it's cheese. Just a, well, it's because like, I keep eating it.
It's like
so that
the
it's
Sarlacc pit. You just keep throwing it in there.
More
and it's like,
cheese.
No.
Speaking of cheese, this was a great film. It's cheesy. It's fun. I enjoyed it. Those high heels are ridiculous.
Yeah.
The wig game was sharp. Dug it. I'm going to give it... 8 out of 10 cups of Turkish chai.
What is the expression? I forget it. I've seen it on t-shirts, and I always thought it was funny. It's like, women can do anything a man can do, only in high heels. Something like that.
Yeah, that's a Fred Astaire line, actually.
Is it really?
About Ginger
Rogers.
Oh,
well, Ginger Rogers said
yeah.
it about. Yeah.
It was the, you know, if you think I'm the greatest dancer in the world, she does everything I do backwards and in heels.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
What about you, Sarah Jane?
Well, I liked it. It was fun. I can recommend it, but it's not super great. Kristen Stewart is lovely. She acts like Kristen Stewart. I mean, she's kind of just whatever.
Snarky,
yes. That's good. Elizabeth Banks was great. Patrick Stewart, I love him, but I suddenly just thought, oh my gosh, he's so old.
Yeah,
didn't he look really old this time?
It hurts. As a next generation kid, I'm like, and the new Star Trek series about him is coming up, and it's just hurting my heart every time I see a trailer. I'm like, I don't want Patrick Stewart to ever die.
No, and I know
can we put him and Ian McKellen in a little bubble, please?
Right?
Like, yes.
Keep
we need agelessness
forever.
Technology for those two people specifically. Nobody else, just them. Maybe Julie Newmar.
Fair.
But he was fun. He didn't play his usual type, so that was interesting. I give it 7 out of 10 Altoids.
Ooh.
Good one. This movie, it's big, but not too big. It's dumb, but not stupid.
Right.
It wants to improve on what the previous films were trying to do, and by God, it totally succeeds on that. Now, that's in many ways a very low bar. Like we said before, those movies are female-led movies playing at being like, oh, the girls are doing it for themselves, but it's not. It's eye candy for dudes, and it's still girls having a... The female actresses clearly had a wonderful time making those films and are apparently still very close friends and yada yada, but they are what they are. This is not that. This is moving that this as the idea of being a series into a new direction that, quite frankly, it should have probably happened a while ago. I'm happy about that. I don't think this is anywhere near a great film. It's a good film and an enjoyable one for what it is. And that shows a lot of promise for this actually becoming a salable and cool franchise, assuming that people, like I said, aren't too cynical to go out and give it the thing a chance. I think it is worth a chance. It is certainly no dumber than almost any other recent big giant spy movie. It's just not as tight as if it has a major problem. There's a lot of just showing of the seams. I mean, a $48 million budget's going to do that when you're trying to do a big action movie. I mean, certainly while there are a lot of cameos in here, they're very brief. Most of them are during the end credits and not the ones you might expect, which I was kind of disappointed by, quite frankly. I was like, really? I'm pretty sure none of the previous three angels are doing anything right now. I mean, and by the way, fuck you guys for not watching the Santa Clarita Diet, because Drew Barrymore should be winning Emmys right now for that goddamn show. But no! Sorry. Get off my...
Do you need a hug? Do you need, like, a coloring book in a safe space?
I don't need a hug. I'm okay.
All right, I'm giving you a hug.
No, I do. Okay, that was nice. Thank you. You had my consent, so it's okay.
Oh, good. Excellent.
I overall did really like this, and I came into it very... I admit, I try not to go in films with my arms crossed and my lower lip pouting out. And this one, I was a little like, we're just going to have to endure this, because the trailers look terrible. But I thought it was decent fun. I could see watching it again, but not like immediately. You know, yeah. One of those like 4 years from now, I go, you know what? That was fun. I'll watch this movie again. I'll show this to other people. And I'm telling you guys, this is a movie you might actually like if you push your lower lip in and uncross your arms and go, you know what? What is the problem here? Like, we've had decades of really misogynist spy movies and only recently have had... at the very least, not misogynist spy movies. And now we have a film that is turning around and kind of turning that on its head and going, hey, we're going to kind of make fun of this history of that and of all the things that need to be addressed in this generation that have gone unaddressed for too long, but have fun doing it. I don't see the problem. I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10... items in the toy shop that I really wish I had seen what they were for.
Okay.
Which is always that way in these movies. Yeah. Like in the James Bond movies, you're always like, I want to know what that thing is. What does that do?
What does that button do?
And they're like, I don't know. We just picked it up at a thrift shop and put it on for background dressing. I'm like, no, I demand you know what it is.